Welcome to another Go For Whole podcast. I am Nadine Babu, and I am joined by someone who I have a lot of respect for. She is a powerhouse in the writing world. She's a woman, hence me saying she's a she. And her name is Heather Rule. She has been a writer for over almost 10 years now. Welcome to the Go For Whole podcast.
Thanks so much for having me. Glad to be here.
I love having you. Heather is actually one of my favorite people to work with. We cover Gopher games together. We always end up on talking on a million other tangents. Actually right now we already talked for like 45 minutes on our own. So hopefully we still have something good for the podcast. But I wanted to have Heather on today to talk a little bit of Gophers, talk about the pandemic, talk about some of the news that just came out just yesterday about Rashad Bateman not returning for senior year, as well as not having high school football in Minnesota, and just kind of getting a perspective from another female writer, because I actually think you were the first. Well, there aren't many in the... Are you the only female writer in the cities?
There's a few others in the hockey world with Sarah and Jesse Pierce, and Jesse and Alexis do this podcast for the Wild, too. So there's a few, but definitely majority is still males, for sure.
Right. So this will be nice to have you and your perspective a little bit different. And let's just jump into this. Let's talk about Rashad Bateman. So yesterday he had announced that he is going to forgo his senior season for the Gophers, and he's going to take the time off and is worried about COVID and the pandemic. And so we are basically missing our one of the best wide receivers that's played for the Gophers for this year if we do play. So were you surprised about this news, or how did you take it?
I was a little surprised, but I think it's something that I totally respect, too. I don't think that anyone should be turning this into, oh, well, you know, let's vilify someone for opting out of their season with MLB's season that's going on right now. As the season has gone on, which isn't even that, it's not even a couple weeks old, there's more and more players that have opted out for the season. And so I think it comes down to everyone's individual case and what works best for them, which I think ultimately has to be the decision no matter what's going on in your life, pandemic or not. But I was reading Jim Suhan's column today on it. He immediately started out and said...
Favorite column. We love Jim Suhan, if you're listening to this, which is, you know, part of our he's the founder of our podcast network.
Right, yeah. No, but he, I think, started out saying he's, you know, the best Gopher football player, you know, he's ever seen. And, you know, I think it's a shame, just from a sports perspective, after the Gophers had such a great season last year, to have this pandemic hit, which I think is, you know, can be said for some of the other sports going on. You know, the Twins specifically is where my mind goes, as far as having this really stacked lineup, and, you know, you come into 2020 with all this optimism and we're going to have a great year, and then the pandemic hits, and it's just, it's the wild card that no one really expected or can predict. So I think it's really a shame, but I think ultimately I respect someone for doing what's right for them. Mm-hmm. I think it'll be obviously a tough hole to fill for the Gophers. You know, then I start to think about, too, well, who knows what kind of a season they might have this year. Obviously, this, you know, the schedule coming out, that looks different. Mm-hmm. Going right into, you know, conference play, not having the non-conference games, which, you know, can pad you with a couple of wins early on for sure. But you kind of go right into the Big Ten schedule. So I think it'll be tough, but again, I feel like you just don't know what's going to happen with the pandemic and what games might be played, or what, you know, COVID outbreaks might happen too with any of the teams.
Well, and that's another reason we wanted to have you on, because you do follow all the sports so closely, which I'm more of like, you're a jack of all trades. I'm a jack of like one or two, basketball and football.
You're everything Gophers, for sure.
Everything
Gophers. Yes.
But you know about, and you've been following this all too so well. So for, like you mentioned too, the schedule just came out today. So we start off at Michigan State, and then we have Michigan, Iowa, Wisconsin. That is September. When has September ever looked like that, where you're fighting for the pig, the jug, and the axe your first month out? But then you look at it, and we're lucky we don't have Ohio State, we don't have Penn State, Michigan is at home. So you look at somebody like, well, if Rashad Bateman was playing, like what could be the difference, you know? But so going back to like MLB, so do you, cause I feel like that's probably the most accurate way to compare what college football season will look like. Tell us what have been the biggest issues, what you foresee happening, and kind of how that looks to you.
Sure. So the first thing, you know, they've had, you know, what, 9, 10, 11 games for some teams. And then you have a team like the Marlins who, you know, had the first series of the season and then basically were shut down for a while because they had this COVID outbreak. And for the first few days, it was sort of waking up to, okay, which team is going to have an outbreak now or which players, you know, how many more positive tests are there? The St. Louis Cardinals have an outbreak as well, which they found out after they had been in Minneapolis playing the Twins. So I think, I mean, it got to a point where I was kind of, it was obviously, you know, first few games of the season, but you kind of felt like every game was a bonus almost because there's other teams then that were being affected and not having games or having them being postponed. Mm-hmm. So I think, you know, everyone's kind of fingers crossed that they'll play the full 60 game regular season that they have set up, which mm-hmm. obviously is a totally different setup than the 162 that they normally play. So I think what's interesting is what we've heard come out is they had this, whatever it was, 111, 113 page, you know, document basically COVID related, but there was nothing explicit in there about what happens if there's an outbreak on a team or a certain number of cases on a team. Mm-hmm. There was nothing too concrete with that, I don't think. So I'm not really sure what could happen that way. As far as the standings go, I know the Marlins were in first place basically this whole time because they were going by winning percentage. So even though they were 2-1, you know, other teams are like 4-5 or, you know, 5-6 or, you know, whatever it was. And, you know, they're still in first place having played three games and then had this outbreak. So I think, and MLB has also made some changes along the way too. After the season started, they decided to go with 7-inning doubleheaders instead of the full 9 innings to try and, I think save on some pitching that way. And, you know, which again, I understand the change. I think it's interesting that they did it after the season started. And then just hours before the season started, they announced a shift in their postseason where they're going to have more teams involved and, you know, just kind of shaking that up that way. So it's kind of a weird year all around. Obviously, 2020 is. Mm-hmm. You know, I think for the Twins, they, you know, like I said before, have such a great lineup and had high expectations and high hopes for the year that, you know, it's in some ways I didn't want to think about it earlier on this season or this spring and summer that they weren't getting to play and what a shame it is. And, you know, fans can't be there and all that because, you know, they have played some good games already this season. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's the fun of it. So in the middle of a game like that, it is nice to kind of get back to a little bit of normalcy there.
But how much joy do you see it bringing? I mean, yourself and other people just having these little bit of sports back right now.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. I think it's different. It's interesting because like for the home games, I'm actually doing my work from home, which I do for the road games normally. So I'm used to that. But what was different is watching like the home opener, you know, from my couch and not being there, which was, you know, disappointing. And, you know, I miss the camaraderie, the friends I see in the press box and that kind of thing too. And so it's different, but getting into the games and obviously winning helps too. You know, the Twins have a really good record right now. So they've had some good games, good pitching, and that really helps. You know, the first few games, I just kind of got back into the swing of things, and it was nice to be able to have that again. You know, as someone who works in sports, I try to really enjoy my evenings and weekends a little bit during the quarantine and pandemic times, which, you know, sort of the opposite for some people that have more typical 9-to-5 jobs. They were saying how much busier they were and didn't know what day it is. And I was like, well, I feel like I maybe have a weekend now, or I'm getting out and enjoying the evenings, which we just don't have in working in sports. But it's been a lot of fun to have that back. The Wilder in the, you know, Stanley Cup qualifying round, they're calling it, in the playoffs in Edmonton. So that's been fun to watch their first couple of games. You know, I know my mom is a really big sports fan, and so I think she sometimes almost missed sports more than I did. She's really glad to have them back so she can watch those again. And stuff. She was watching a lot of like old TV shows like Dick Van Dyke and watching old game shows like Password and stuff, which is fun, you know, too. But I think I know she's really glad as a sports fan to have those back.
So seeing what you've seen with MLB, what do you think? Do you think college football season is going to happen, A, and B, what do you think they have to do to make it successful?
I could see it happening. I would not be surprised at all to see an outbreak happen. I think what you're going to run into is, you know, everyone, there's a lot of talk about the personal responsibility and accountability. And I think, you know, schools and teams can't be shy about really cracking down on, okay, if we're traveling to this city for a game, we're not leaving the hotel. Like, no one is late. You know, you go play, you go to practice, whatever, you come back, you stay in your room. You know, those kind of rules can't be taken lightly, which I think we've seen already with some of the outbreaks that have happened with teams. So I think that needs to be taken seriously, and players need to realize that, you know, ultimately sports are kind of a privilege when you look at it. You know, when you talk about schools opening up and that kind of thing, I mean, sports are great and they're awesome and we all love them, but you know, it's not something that is vital to live life. And I think just kind of realizing what a blessing it is to be able to play. And, you know, if you want to keep that going, make sure that, you know, you're not doing anything to put you at risk, your teammates at risk, your coaches, and just try to follow all those rules to make sure that, you know, the season can happen and can continue.
Do you think that's realistic for college kids? That's the next thing.
Do they love football
enough to say, okay, I'm not seeing my girlfriend, I'm not seeing anyone else, I am just going to be seeing my teammates, going to practice, taking online classes, you know, I mean, can they actually do that?
It's a really good question. I'm not really, you know, based on what we've already seen, I don't know. Like, if, you know, if some of these athletes just think, oh, well, it's not a big deal or whatever else, I think it's going to really test athletes mentally. I think, you know, I don't know how much of that goes into, you know, their everyday, you know, what they're thinking out there in practice and games, but this might take some discipline on themselves. It might take some teammates or captains, you know, enforcing things and saying, hey, like, if we want to play, and realizing that, you know, this has maybe future impacts on the future for these guys and for their careers in the, you know, possibly NFL or what they want to do with, you know, the rest of their life. They don't want to infect, you know, their families if they get COVID, that kind of thing. So I don't know how realistic it is necessarily, because you are talking about, you know, I think sometimes you talk about college athletics and you see these guys that are almost semi-professional or whatever, but you are still talking about guys that are 19, 20, 21 years old, whatever it is. And, you know, there is a little bit of that, you know, I'm invincible kind of mentality that young people just have. And I don't think COVID is necessarily an exception to that. I think that's what a lot of people just think, that, oh, well, I'm not going to get it, it's not a big deal. So I don't know. I think time will tell to see if that's real. I think, you know, the sports happening now can maybe be used as a case study. And, you know, these coaches can have an example and say, well, look what happened to this team. You know, one guy went out and did this or whatever, and now they have all these cases and they couldn't play their games. You know, do you want that to be you? Maybe that's what it would take. I don't know.
Well, and the sad thing is too, because the invincibility, like you mentioned, I think that these guys are some of the healthiest, you know, people in the country right now. So they definitely feel that way. And sadly enough, I think it could take a big outbreak or somebody really getting sick or dying, you know, for them to be like, okay, that could be me. You know, I still think there's the stigma attached where it's like, it's old people or this or that or whatever. And it's like, there are some young, healthy people that are dying, you know, it's not as common, obviously, but I mean, it's a wake up call.
Right. Yeah. It's almost, you know, it's almost like it's not bad enough in a way, the pandemic, like it's not bad enough that like everyone and, you know, everybody knows somebody that's affected by it or that has gotten sick, you know, and I think to me, the whole weird thing with COVID too is the asymptomatic, you know, I mean, you have no idea, like you could have had it months ago or someone, you know, could have had it and they could have, you just don't know that stuff. So I think, yeah, it'll be really interesting to say. I think time will tell on that, because even in practices, once we start to see, you know, maybe there's players that, you know, test positive, then what do you start to do? Because when I was kind of looking at the MLB stuff, I thought, well, you know, you always have injuries as kind of the wild card with your lineup. You know, there's, you can talk about whatever you want on paper and how the season might go and who might do well or this or that, But now you have COVID too, which not only can affect one player, it could affect a bunch of their teammates. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not like a broken ankle where it just affects that one guy. Right. You know, there's a virus that could get around to the rest of the team.
Mm-hmm. And yesterday, the news just came down that they are not going to have high school football and they are postponing till the spring. I was a little confused with this decision because they are postponing that. And, but they aren't postponing, like, say, soccer. And I feel like the two, obviously there's some more contact in football, but soccer is extremely physical and it's outside. And I know they're going to postpone volleyball, which was inside. That makes sense. But why do you think that they decided to do football and not something like soccer?
Right. I mean, part of it might be, you know, football is obviously kind of the marquee sport, right? It's, you know, I feel like some of the coverage is maybe going to turn into like, oh, well, you know, fall sports like postponed. And well, really there's still, you know, there's cross country and there's tennis and swimming that are still going to be going on this fall, which I know aren't the exciting sports. You know, I play tennis. I like tennis. Swimming is actually really fun.
You still don't play tennis with me though.
So I know. Yes, we have to play tennis together.
Like before it starts snowing.
Yes, that would be good.
And you have to have sympathy. Like you have to like have patience for me because I literally haven't played in probably 6 years. Like I probably actually have to get my racket restrung first.
That might be, you know, there's, I didn't play for a while one time and then I got out on the court and my string
right away
broke right away. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that might be good to do. But yeah, I think football, you know, I think maybe that might've been the decision that was going to be scrutinized no matter what, for sure. And, you know, it's interesting with soccer. I mean, I do see where there is more contact in football. There's more, I'm assuming too, you know, there's more players involved too, because you have, you know, bigger teams that you're fielding. And, you know, I think they were trying to keep as not really normal season. I feel like you can't use the word normal. Mm-hmm. But just try, maybe if they postpone it to the spring, then, you know, maybe things will improve and they can have a little more normalcy. If they were to start it now and things continue to get worse and worse, that might not be as good either, you know, but I'm not sure as far as the, you know, the only other thing I thought of with soccer is maybe they were worried about scheduling conflicts with the fields too, since soccer and football play in the same field, but I don't know, cause they do play in the fall together. So that might not be a good example either, but I think, yeah, I mean, it sucks for all these athletes, obviously.
Oh my gosh. How do you get recruited? How do you decide? How do you wait until spring ball?
Right.
You know, how does that even work? Like, you can't have a senior, you basically are either going to get an offer or not without a senior season.
Right. And to me, it's just, I feel like, I think what's helped me through the pandemic too is just trying to think that, well, everyone has something that they're missing out on. Everyone has something that they're stressed but frustrated about, something that they don't get to do because of the pandemic. Doesn't necessarily help because you're still like missing something important. No, but that was something I tried to tell myself. And even in the spring too, like there were spring sports were completely wiped out. And I had done some stories, some baseball and softball stories, and these teams that had really high hopes for the state tournament, and, you know, talking to some junior players who were really hoping that, you know, this season, you know, they're going to put up some great numbers and as far as looking at, you know, getting recruited. Mm-hmm. And now that's completely wiped out too. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think football, again, is kind of the marquee sport everyone looks at, but it's so many other things too. And I think about not just sports, but we can talk about the schools opening or not. Mm-hmm. I think about clubs. I think about, you know, I was in choir, you know, I think about the school plays that aren't going to be happening, all the, you know, clubs kids are involved in high school and that kind of stuff. So it's just, you know, I don't think it helps anyone, but I'm not in high school. I don't have, you know, a horse in the race exactly for what these kids are going through and what these families are going through. But, you know, it did help me to just kind of think, you know, it just sucks. And there's nothing that anyone can really do about it.
The only thing that's different though, because yes, obviously everyone's lost out on stuff. I feel like in the spring though, it was an even playing field because everything was canceled.
Everyone had that.
So like now it's like, you're going to have these kids in Minnesota that don't get to showcase their talent, but I'm guessing like Georgia's going to play and Texas is going to play and Florida's going to, you know, like, so that's where it's not that even playing field where these kids really get hit hard. And especially when you look at it, like as a way of a scholarship, as a way of an education, as a way out, you know, of possibly tough upbringings, things like that. I mean, it's not just like about the game. It's about a livelihood, a familyhood, you know, like everything about that. And honestly, something in the back of my head, and I don't know if this is awful to say or not, but by them kind of protecting the football players more, like, is that putting more value on them than, say, like the soccer players, because that's their money makers, and, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And that could, you know, I mean, who knows? There's been plenty, even before the pandemic, there was plenty of, you know, press out there about the high school league and having, you know, budget deficits and that kind of thing. So they weren't necessarily in great shape before all this happened. And I know there's talk of, you know, different things about, I think they're getting rid of, you know, printed programs, you know, something like that to help with the budget. But that's a really good point that, yeah, it isn't really a level playing field anymore. And I think, you know, that's what's so weird too, because you have, you know, some schools are going to open, some schools aren't going to open. I mean, everyone is going to end up having these different experiences. You know, some people don't want to go back to school because they don't feel it's safe. You know, some people don't think, yeah, let's go back to school, we need to. And so, yeah, I think it is going to have kind of this ripple effect on everything. I wonder how much that's going to affect, like, colleges and recruiters and how they might change their mindset. Like, are they just immediately going to write, you know, these players off because, oh, they're in Minnesota and they didn't get to play their senior season until the spring and we can't wait? Or are they going to change up whatever their process is and say, well, okay, let's maybe wait to the spring and see their season and see what we can come up with, rather than just writing them off altogether?
Well, and there hasn't been any updates like on signing day or anything now, because now the signing day is in December, used to be February. But I mean, when you look at it, like, I mean, say you're PJ Fleck right now and you're filling out your roster, and it's like you have to kind of do that. You can't just be like, well, I'm going to wait until May to see if this kid ends up exploding, but then you may not have a spot for him.
Right. Yeah, it's almost like a ripple effect. It's like,
yeah,
with all this stuff happening, like, okay, well, they had to adjust their season. Now, colleges, or does that mean you're going to adjust your signing day and your recruiting process? Mm-hmm. Are you going to, you know, start to do things differently to try and give these kids a spot, if you want to? You know, I feel like there would maybe have to be some, you know, it seems really cold-hearted to just, okay, well, we just have to write all these kids off now because they're not playing football in the fall, you know? And the alternative, you know, and in some way, it's not like it's any fault of their own. I mean, it's the pandemic, obviously, which has created all of these tough decisions. That's really kind of a no-win for anybody. So I would hope that maybe there would be some discussions, at least as far as, hey, what can we do? Can we, you know, I don't know what that involves, the whole recruiting process. If there's something that they can come to a football field at a school and maybe, you know, watch a kid, you know, throw the football around, or, you know,
like
whatever.
Like a little combine or something.
Yeah, something like that, you know, they could do.
Little pro day.
Yeah, in place of watching their football games. You know, something that I would hope there would be some considerations rather than just, okay, well, you know, we just can't have a spot for these. And some of these, I would think that maybe if they were in the process already, or these names are on the lists of, you know, the Gophers or other schools that they were looking at, like, maybe they still want these guys and they saw something from them their sophomore or junior season, and, or, you know, before that too, are they just going to immediately cross them off, or are they going to try to make it work somehow?
Right. I think there are just so many unanswered questions, and that's why it's, I mean, I'm sure you get it all the time, you know, like, what's going to happen? What are you doing? And it's like, we don't know anything more than you guys know about this. Like, we can speculate. Like, I felt like immediately when they announced that we were going to have no non-conference games, that was a bad sign. And it was like, okay, last ditch effort. But I mean, aside from being able to do some kind of bubble with the Big Ten, I don't know how that's going to work.
Yeah, I'm not exactly optimistic on that. you know, there was a long time I thought, well, is MLB going to really try to make this work too? I mean, it was tough to, you know, kind of see the different discussions and, you know, because I just kept going back to, we are in the middle of a pandemic. Like, you know, this is something that no one has seen before, and everyone's trying to make really hard, impossible decisions and try to figure this out. So, Yeah, I mean, they're going to face some of the similar things that MLB is facing. Mm-hmm. We've seen already with the NBA and NHL playing in their bubbles. You know, again, a little different circumstances because they were toward the end of their season, so now they're kind of doing their playoffs and postseason. Mm-hmm. But, you know, as far as we've seen so far, the cases are just not happening because they're all in this bubble. So, you know, maybe that can be used, you know, with the college football summit. Well, but yeah. If you're not going to be in a bubble, then it's like, okay, then you've seen what's happened with sports that aren't in a bubble and how there's cases because there's travel and you're on the road. You're not at home where you can just stay in quarantine. So I don't know. I'm,
Here's the thing. So obviously the U of M announced that they're going to do online. They're going to do distance learning, which by the way, I feel bad for all those kids paying like $25,000, $30,000 a year to sit at their computers and on Zoom calls, which fry our brains right. every day.
Yeah.
But so basically like the football players will be back on campus. So they can probably be pretty sequestered from everything because nobody else is going to be there. Mm-hmm. And then if you fly private, you have a specified hotel that maybe like both teams stay at, you know, like that kind of thing. I think you can mm-hmm. control a lot of those variables, but you had just mentioned to me, like MLB is not doing that. Like umpires are staying in different hotels, different, you know, like it's not all together. So, I mean, if they make those efforts, like, is it kind of almost like a traveling bubble they could do?
I think so. And I think, you know, I don't know all the specifics with MLB. I mean, they always have a team hotel that they stay at anyway, but I think what you get into is trying to make sure that players are following protocols and rules and things like that, and trying to, you know, even during play, limit the content and the high fives. You know, the Twins had a walk-off the other night and everyone just kind of raised their hands in the air and they threw hand sanitizer around instead of mobbing at home plate and, you know, throwing the water bottles and all that. So, you know, I think there are ways to control so much of it that I think they have a good shot. I think it's that it might be that matter of the discipline and making sure that, okay, we are following the rules. Like we are, you know, it is kind of strictly about football. You know, I don't know what other, you know, activities or things, you know, guys are doing when they're out, you know, for a road game or something, or maybe it's a situation where you fly back that day or something. So you limit time in a hotel, that kind of thing. So I think there are plenty of ways that they can try and do their best to control it.
Well, I just think about even like Lifetime, they're running around with these sanitizers, all the stuff. You got to think like they can go, like, obviously the hotels are already have protocols, but like, you got to think that they can go around and disinfect all the planes, you know, the hotels, the hallways, everywhere the team's going to be. Like you have that staff that can do that first, you know?
But, yeah.
I mean, I just really want college football to happen.
Yeah.
MLB, like, get your act together because we need to, like, set that example.
Right. Yeah. And I think, you know, I think everyone wants it to happen. And, you know, I don't know where the NFL is and what their plans are either, but, you know, it's a similar thing. You're talking about a close contact sport, but, you know, we'll see what happens with hockey here too, because they're a close contact sport. Yeah. They're hitting guys. They're, you know, mobbing up, you know, celebrating their goals, that kind of thing.
All indoors.
So yeah, indoors, you know, obviously no fans, and they are in, you know, this bubble with the team hotels and different activities and restaurants. So, you know, I think up until now we've seen it work okay. Mm. So, you know, I don't know. I think that's just so weird. It's the weird thing about the virus, Jared. There's so much, I feel like we still don't know.
Yeah.
And, you know, you hear different things. It's like, well, what's, you know, how is it spread? Like, how is it spread exactly? Yeah. And what, you know, all that stuff that we don't know. Yeah. So I think, yeah, there's definitely a shot to at least give it a go and try to make it work. I mean, they've already scaled back the schedule and things like that. It's already not going to be a normal year.
Right. I haven't gotten really a chance to watch MLB, but like, what effect has no fans had on these games? And what do you think it would be for football?
So what a lot of the stadiums have done is they've pumped in like the kind of the ambient crowd noise, which watching on TV, I have to think being there, like as media and, you know, personnel is probably way different than watching on TV. Watching on TV, I haven't noticed a ton of really big differences. I think that crowd noise helps, and they also, you know, kind of pump up the cheers when there's something good that happens for the home team, that kind of thing. So that's been good. I think there are instances where you kind of miss out on the, you know, the cheering of actual fans being there and where they might.
It makes a huge difference.
Yeah.
On a third down right. or something.
Yeah. Like, and I think especially in football, it would be a lot different than mm-hmm. baseball, which is, you know, a little bit slower game. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, you're not up cheering all the time. You know, it's things like, you know, two strikes in the eighth inning with a guy on kind of thing, or obviously home runs, that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. But that's not sustained through the entire game. You know, the walk off the other night was interesting because that was, you know, there was nobody there to cheer about it. And like I said, the celebration was different. You know, they're throwing hand sanitizer at Nelson Cruz, and it's so
they're like, man, that would take me like a year to get on Amazon. I'm gonna take all that.
Yeah, throw it at me. Yep. So yeah, but I think football, it might just be a little different. I think if they do the crowd noise thing, like, at least watching on TV. Again, I think in person it's probably a lot different. But watching on TV, that seems to make it a little better. Mm. Just kind of feeling like it's a normal game. Then you see, like, behind home plate, they've had, like, these different, you know, fat heads of the Twins have, like, old players that are behind home plates. You see all of their big heads. And different teams have done different things. You know, fundraisers or season ticket holders want to do that. But as far as, you know, the seeing the empty ballparks, it hasn't been as weird as I thought it would be.
Okay.
Yeah. So, but I don't know.
People are just grateful. It's like right now, you get what you get, and we're happy for it.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about your career and where people can follow you. On Twitter, you are H Rule, as in Heather Rule.
H-L Rule.
Yes. H-L Rule. I didn't have it right in front of me. I pulled it up and I still got it wrong. This is why I'm not a professional writer like you. I'm not a journalist. But where else? You have your own website. You have a blog. Mm-hmm. What have you been covering over this whole pandemic? And tell us a little bit about your work with the Twins, too.
Sure. Yeah. So, at HL Rule on Twitter, heatherrule.com. It's my website. And I've done a lot of different stuff over the past few years. I started out in news, actually, for my first couple of jobs, covering things like city council and school board. And,
exciting.
So, yeah, those were, you know, good experiences to cover. It was interesting. You know, I knew I wanted to get into sports writing, but at, you know, in the recession when you graduate and it's like, oh, okay, well, journalism, you know, at that time people are still like, oh, newspapers are going to completely go away, and which still hasn't happened yet. So trying to get a newspaper job, and you know, those news positions were what was there. So I did that, had, you know, met some great people and had some good experiences at a couple of outstate papers, and, you know, came back and just the freelancing just kind of built up, just sort of covering, it started with a high school football game. They, you know, needed someone to cover for the Star Tribune. Mm-hmm. And as I got more into it, and I was kind of job searching, but it was just the more you network and meet people, the more opportunities came up for all these different outlets, and eventually got connected up with MLB and the Twins, and I handle most of the in-game Twitter for their games.
Do you ever make a typo?
I have. It's
Do you delete
rare.
Really, really fast?
Yeah,
or
I usually
do you get
delete
like 800 replies right away.
Sometimes it's that where it's like I won't know necessarily right away, and then you look at some of the replies, and of course everyone is so willing to call that stuff out.
Oh, for sure.
Oh
no,
my gosh,
one can make a mistake on Twitter.
Exactly. They call it out, and sometimes it's happened on, you know, lineups or whatever. You have a, you know, two-third baseman or that kind of thing.
I always get scores wrong. I'm a little dyslexic. So that's what I always get wrong. And people be like, that's not, and that's like the most important part.
Right.
I get it wrong.
Yeah. I try to like double, triple check, you know, before I post something, make sure I have things right. But, you know, yeah, it happens. And usually you just delete it. I think there's been a couple times where stuff happens so quick in an inning that I might just kind of poke fun at it and be like, oh, well, you know, we were typing so fast that, you know, that kind of thing. So sometimes you just have to do that. But so I've done that for the past 5 years. Mm-hmm. And so that kind of covers the baseball season. And then freelancing is sort of year round, but I do a lot with like the Star Tribune and the high school tournaments. Mm-hmm. So I've done, you know, tennis, swimming, volleyball, hockey, a little bit of football, soccer, mm-hmm. kind of wherever they need me. Used to do some features for them when they had more of the zone coverage for suburbs, and which is kind of fun. I like doing the features and profiles because it ultimately comes back to everyone's story. So that's a lot of fun. I've covered the Minnesota Whitecaps, the women's professional hockey team, a little bit, which is really, really fun because typically there's not really any media there either.
Right.
So it's, you know, as they
like an exclusive interview with the head coach.
A little bit, yeah. You know, it's kind of like there's no real media scrum. It's just, you know, oh, who do you want to talk to? Yeah. And so I've done some work there with for The Athletic and Minnesota Hockey Magazine, which I also covered the Wild for Minnesota Hockey Magazine the past couple of years.
So you guys need to follow Heather because she posts about everything. She knows about everything. She's like a one-stop shop for all of this. And you've covered some Gopher women's too, basketball.
Yes. Yep.
How is it different covering that than men's? Because I've never done the women's.
Yeah, the women's was interesting. So that was a couple of years ago. I did, you know, a few games for the Star Tribune on, you know, a freelance basis. And just I had covered men's basketball for zone coverage a little bit. And so I got to see just, yeah, like you said, the differences, you know, with the men's game, especially, you know, you get to the Big Ten games and it's like a full media room. You know, you have the press conferences come in with the players and coach and, you know, TV's there and all these usually male writers, except for you, like, yep. You know, and then for the women's games, it was, you know, I went to media availability, like after their practices or whatever and covered games, but usually it was like me and maybe a TV camera or two, that was usually it, maybe one other reporter, but typically a lot of times it was just me. So it was kind of me leading the little scrum with questions or just me one-on-one with an interview, which was a different experience because I hadn't, you know, usually if I'm doing interviews, I'm used to kind of the one-on-one with high school games that I cover regular season. Or, you know, even the state tournaments, a lot of times there's a lot more media there. And so you don't feel, I guess, the pressure to be the one asking questions. But it was a situation where, yeah, it kind of was a good experience for me to, you know, feel more comfortable asking the questions, kind of taking the lead and figuring out, you know, the direction I wanted the interviews to go. So it was, yeah, that was a good experience.
Do you feel like they're more grateful for you covering, like, where it's like, it's kind of like we're a nuisance in men's sports. Like, oh, you know, like, they want to get in and out, you know, like, but like with women's sports, like, they want to promote. Like, they want people to come to their games. Yes. They're grateful to their fans, you know? It's like, it's kind of like night and day.
Yes, I definitely experienced that with the Gophers. It was Marlene Stallings. She was still coaching at that time. And that was usually how she started off her opening statement. Like, you know, thanks for being here. Thanks for your coverage, that kind of thing. I've also seen that with some of the sports I've done in high school. I've also covered like the adapted state tournaments. So like adapted floor hockey, adapted soccer. And they're really appreciative too of the coverage. And again, that's another situation where I would be there for the Star Tribune and, you know, probably the only media person there. You know, not to say that other places wouldn't cover it or, you know, do a write-up or something later, maybe in their local paper. But that was another situation where I feel like they're very appreciative of the coverage and it's not like a problem that you're there, you know? So that's always nice. Similar feeling with the Whitecaps too. I think they've been really good to talk with me and willing to give me whatever I need for access and that kind of thing.
I just can't even imagine how that would be. Instead of like every interview request, denied. Right.
Yeah. And I've heard that with like football. I haven't covered any Viking stuff, but I've heard that with like the NFL and just how strict things are. And
oh yeah. Like like the second these guys declare for like the draft, I'm like, great. Now I can just reach out to them and like get an interview. You know? It's so nice.
Yeah. And a lot of, you know, what I do with the high school, like covering regular season hockey games or even any of these feature stories I do, which a lot of it is phone interviews a lot of times too. I mean, I just, you know, you just reach out to these people one-on-one. Yeah. You go down by the locker room afterward, you know, ask for the head coach because usually there's a bunch of coaches. You're like, which one, you know? And then I need these two players. And so there's not, I'm used to that too, where there's not like a media, you know, liaison to kind of go through.
Right.
Which I think, you know, if you cover enough like college and professional sports, you kind of get used to that. Yeah. So like last year, I covered Hockey Day Minnesota in Minneapolis last year, and we were covering the high school games, and, you know, there was a group of us, and it was kind of weird for some, like, oh yeah, like there's no media person here. Like, I guess like we go just grab the coach and, you know, ask for a couple players.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. That's kind of how it works. So
it's just like the simple days, the good old days.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
That's great. Mm-hmm. And you have also written some books as well. You are author.
Yes. Some children's books about sports, of course, nonfiction. Yeah. Done a few, a couple about the Olympics. There's one about actually NASCAR racetracks, which is kind of interesting. I'm more partial to IndyCar, but that was still a fun book. And the first two I did, I wrote about women in the Olympics and women in sports media, which is a favorite of mine, of course.
Well, so. which is so great because I don't think that's covered very often. And obviously, like, how long have I been covering the Gophers? There's been a handful of women that have even been at games ever, you know? And if you're not there, I'm the only one in the media room, you know? That's a female.
Right.
So where, like, if people want to buy these for their boys and girls growing up, where can they purchase them?
So I think most of them are on Amazon. Mm-hmm. I do have a page on my website on heatherrule.com. It's, you know, in the menu as books. And so they're all on there linked to the company's page. Mm-hmm. So yeah, they're available online. I think Barnes & Noble might have some too, just online, not in store, but
perfect.
Yeah.
Great. Well, thank you so much for your time. Thank you for coming here. We're doing a socially distanced interview. We are at least 6 feet away. There's been no contact except Heather has had contact with my dog, Goldie, who immediately loved her, even though she's not a dog person. But Goldie knows good people. And now she's passed out. She's like too much sports talk. But thank you so much. Yeah. And look forward to hopefully seeing you during some seasons.
Yeah, I hope so, too. Hopefully we can get some more sports back.
Absolutely. Thank you. Yeah.